Radio MD.
RadioMD.com.
This is Healthy Children, brought to you by the American Academy of Pediatrics on RadioMD.com. Here's Melanie Cole, MS.
Well, we all know we're supposed to put sunscreen on our children and keep out of the sun during the strong daylight hours and wear hats and things. And we're going to talk about all these tips to keep your children safe from sunburn. But what about the ingredients in the sunscreens that we're putting on our children and that we keep reapplying? Are there some that are more dangerous than others? My guest is Dr. Sophie Bach. She's attending pediatrician at the Children's Hospital at Montefiore. So welcome to the show, Dr. Bach. Tell us a little bit about the sunscreens on the market, and are there some ingredients we should be afraid of?
Well, sure. But let me back up just a little bit. So when we're talking about sunscreen, we need to know that they're there to protect against two types of ultraviolet rays that come from the sun, the UVA and the UVB. And the UVB are considered the burning rays. The UVA rays don't generally burn, but they do penetrate deeper into the skin and cause different types of damage. They both can cause cancer. And the sunburns raise your risk of skin cancer, so we really want to avoid them. In addition, they're painful. You know, they're very uncomfortable. And sunscreen, there are 17 sunscreen ingredients that are approved for use in the United States by the U.S. Food and Drug Administration. And 15 are organic chemical sunscreens, and 2 are the mineral, or sometimes they're called physical sunscreens, and those are titanium dioxide and zinc oxide. And new rules from FDA came into effect late last year, and this is the first summer that we have these rules. So when you're evaluating a sunscreen to use for your child, you need to know that FDA now talks about the importance of broad spectrum, meaning that the product gives you protection against both types of rays, both UVA rays and UVB rays. So you want to look for that. They also talk about SPF. People have heard of that. That's the sun protection factor. And this is used to measure the protection against sunburn or UVB rays, only UVB rays. So it's important to remember that SPF only refers to UVB protection. And FDA says that if a product is labeled broad spectrum and also the SPF is 15 or greater, then the manufacturer can say that it protects against sunburn, skin aging, and skin cancer if used with other sun protection measures.
Okay, so now there's been some environmental groups that have, you know, a list of the best sunscreens.
Right.
And do we need to be concerned about some of the ingredients that they're red flagging?
Yes. One of the groups that I personally think is very useful is the Environmental Working Group, or EWG. And their website is www.ewg.org. And they have looked at hundreds and hundreds of sunscreens and the ingredients. So some of the ingredients that we're concerned about are, one of them in particular is oxybenzone. And that's one of the organic chemical sunscreens. And one of the reasons we're concerned about oxybenzone is that it looks like it has some endocrine activity. In other words, it can mimic hormones. And particularly with young children, we're concerned about the absorption of the oxybenzone into the body and potential hormone activity. So if you have a choice, I would advise parents to try to avoid oxybenzone if possible. If you don't have a choice, if the only thing that you can find has oxybenzone, then I would go ahead and use it, because we want to prevent sunburn, because we know that sunburns increase your risk of skin cancer.
Well, they certainly do. And Dr. Bach, if you would pull just away from your phone just a little bit.
Sure.
We're getting a little bit of a backlash there. So now what about some of these other ones derived from vitamin A? I heard about retinol palmitate and some of these others. Do we read the label, look for these ingredients from the Environmental Working Group, and then as much as we can stay away? Because these are ones we're supposed to keep reapplying.
Right. Well, there is some concern about retinol palmitate, because when it's used indoors, like in a night cream, it's marketed to prevent skin aging. But there's concern that if you go outside and expose your skin to light, then if your skin has retinyl palmitate on it, it can create free radicals that are also damaging to the skin. So it's something that a consumer should keep in mind. I'm more concerned about the oxybenzone, but these are emerging concerns.
Okay, so these are all things that are coming out now.
Right.
And do you, I mean, you know, you can mention products or whatever. Are there certain ones that you know don't have these products and you'd like to recommend?
Well, the ingredients that are considered the safest are the physical or mineral sunscreens. Those are the ones that are made with titanium dioxide and zinc oxide, and they provide very good broad-spectrum protection without these other concerns. They are formulated using nanotechnology, which is a technology that uses very, very tiny particles, but we don't think that they're absorbed into the body. So I would look for those. I would try to avoid sprays because we're concerned about inhalation of some of these particles and the possible risk of inhalation. We don't want that.
Really? And so you don't like the sprays because, gosh, they make it so much easier to get it on your kids.
Right, because I don't want, if you're going to use the spray, I would put it on your hands first and then apply it to your child. But the danger is that they might inhale it. And if it's a nanoparticle, one of those teeny tiny particles, we don't know what the effects are if it's inhaled into the lung. But I would go, you know, I would go, and if I were a consumer, I would look at the Environmental Working Group site. I think it provides very useful information.
Okay, that's very good advice. Now, I'd like to have you give some general tips. How often should we be applying it? And if we're swimming in a pool or a
sure.
lake, do we apply it right when we come back out again? What do we do about that?
Well, just to step back, just to know that sunscreen is part of a total program of sun protection. Sometimes sunscreen users, especially if they're using the high SPFs, so they're less likely to sunburn, they might use that sunscreen to extend their time spent in the sun, and that's not a good idea. So we don't want people to deliberately suntan. We want you to use clothing and hats to protect your skin, seeking shade if possible, trying to time your outdoor activities. And we really want people to go outside and enjoy the outside, but time your outside activities outside the hours of peak sun, which would be before 10 a.m. and after 2 p.m. Use your sunglasses and do apply your sunscreen. So it's suggested that you apply your sunscreen at least 15 minutes before going outside, to reapply after 2 hours or after you've had some vigorous activity or if you've gone swimming or towel dried.
Okay, so we put it all over. Do we use different sunscreen on the children's faces than we use on their body?
No, you can use the sunscreen on all parts of the body. Sometimes it's suggested that particularly with an infant, you apply the sunscreen kind of as a test on a small part of the child's body to make sure there's no allergic reaction before putting it all over. And you don't want to get it into the child's eyes, certainly.
Well, certainly not, even if it says tear-free. You just want to stay away from that. In the last 30 seconds or so,
yeah.
Dr. Bach, please give us your best advice for sunscreen and the ingredients in sunscreen and the safetiness.
Okay, so the bottom line is go out and have fun outside, but do it safely. Sunscreen is just is one part of a total program of sun protection. When you're choosing your sunscreen, if possible, avoid the oxybenzone because we're concerned about possible hormonal disruption activity. And don't use sunscreen to extend your time spent in the sun.
Well, that is the way to keep our children safe from sunburn because we all know that that makes for a miserable couple of days if your children get sunburn. So read the ingredients just like we read the labels on food. It's time to start reading the ingredients on our sunscreen. This is Melanie Cole for Healthy Children and Radio MD. Stay well.